Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're here at the end of the week of celebration, celebrating the reality of the kingship of Jesus. This past Sunday was the solemnity of Christ the King, Jesus the King of the universe. The church ended this liturgical year, the end of our calendar year, as we do every year, declaring the lordship and majesty of Jesus and celebrating his great victory. St. Paul prayed a beautiful prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, and I think also chapter 2, where he prayed that God essentially would grant to you and to me and to every human being, ultimately, that I think his prayer was first for the church, but I think ultimately for everybody, that we could come to see the glory and majesty of Jesus, what Paul himself saw. Because when we see Jesus, we see who he actually is through the grace of the Holy Spirit who's given to us and whose first, really his first mission is to reveal to every human heart the glory, the majesty, the victory, the power, the love and mercy of Jesus. Seeing Jesus and giving our life to him is the central thing that needs to happen for us if we're ever going to reach fulfillment, our ultimate destiny, and the peace and the joy and the serenity that we seek with our lives and the love that we want to live fully. It can be found only in him. It's only found in the kingdom of God. And it begins in this world, at this time, in his church, and those who come in contact with Christ. So we celebrate this week. We remember, we declare, we proclaim. It's important for us to speak about Jesus, friends, to talk about him in our family, to enthrone Jesus in our family, to lift him up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. All men, and I'll draw everyone to myself if I'm lifted up. It's a good question. If you look at our homes, and what's life like in your home? Do you as a father and as a mother, do you regularly lift up Jesus? And how do you do that in your home? Do you pray together? Do you speak about him? Do you study his word? Do you celebrate the days we celebrate throughout the church year, the holy days of obligation, remembering particular saints, celebrating our baptism, celebrating whatever it is you're led to do? How is it that you have made Jesus preeminent in your life and in your home? Because if you raise him up, and you raise him up daily, and you have him at the center of your life, and the whole of your personal life and your family revolves around Jesus, and you're seeking him, and you're hungering after him, you will come to see him. You'll see him in his glory. It'll change your life. It'll win your children to the kingdom of God. I want to end this week of celebration, declaration, to talk about Jesus' final coming, as it's given to us in the Catechism, paragraph 675 through 678, I'd like to get at. I'm not sure I can get to all of them, but just to be able to hear them yourself, to see what the church knows about the second coming of Jesus and what the king is going to do and where human history is headed. Paragraph 675, before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. You know, we might be going through that final trial right now because the faith of believers is being shaken all over the world. It's very possible. We have the great apostasy or a great apostasy that's happened across Europe. It's happening more and more in Canada. It's coming to the United States. There's as Pope Benedict XVI said, that humanity's pushing God from the human horizon. We're insisting on life apart from God. So the final trial will be a time when many people will lose their faith. And what will happen is, the kings of this world will ultimately come together under the Antichrist. They will come together in their resistance against God. They will, as Psalm 2 says, that they will set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. And they will take great offense at the church because the church is the presence of Christ's authority on the earth. And they're going to rage against the church. And then the Catechism describes what's going to happen. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. The Antichrist and the powers of the Antichrist in the world that are going to be moving through kings and rulers and beautiful and important people, even people who have been baptized are going to get caught up into this. And they're going to say, that we're on this evolutionary process. And now we understand, for example, that Jesus is just one of many religious, enlightened people in history. And we're all evolving together, and history's moving toward its own perfection on its own resources in some way. Or that the Antichrist is going to unite the world in a way that the whole world is going to recognize. He's going to deal with conflict in the world and bring about a unity. And he's going to demand ultimately, as people follow him in this unity, that finally someone's been able to bring unity to the world. He's going to demand that this unity is going to include and will only be able to be sustained if people reject Christ. And so the Catechism's talking about here that this unity and promise is going to come at a cost, at a price, and that price is apostasy from the truth. The supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messianism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and his Messiah come in the flesh. Paragraph 676, the Antichrist deception already begins to take place. It takes shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history the messianic hope, which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment, that is, Jesus' coming again. So the Antichrist and the world's going to promise we can save ourselves. We're going to do it on our own resources. And to push away this crazy religious fantasy that there is a God and that somehow this God's going to come and rescue us, the world will seek to put that to death. The paragraph goes on, it says, the church has rejected even modified forms of this falsification of the kingdom to come under the name of millenarianism, especially the intrinsically perverse political form of a secular messiahism. And that's what's happening even in China, is a secular, we're going to fix it all, the state, the nation state's going to be the place where peace and harmony and everything comes about. So paragraph 677, the church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover. What was Jesus' Passover? It was Calvary. When she will follow the Lord in his death and resurrection. So there's a great final trial that's coming at the end of human history. It's going to be very, very difficult to go through. And we see like dress rehearsals of it in human history. And we're getting some of that now. In some parts of the world, it's extremely difficult to identify with Christ and his purpose in the world. And it's becoming more difficult now as the world insists, as the people in our country of power and influence insist on living life and lifestyles and declaring truths which in fact are falsehood. They're lies, it's darkness, it's enslaving, and it's profoundly offensive to God, and we're being forced to conform to it. That's exactly the kind of thing that's being described here. The kingdom will be fulfilled then not by an historic triumph for the church through a progressive ascendancy, not just some sort of evolution that's just happening, but only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil, which will cause his bride to come down from heaven with Jesus. This final battle that's going to be unleashed of evil's attempt to ultimately enslave every human being and destroy God's plan on the earth and purposes, Jesus will come. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. There's upheaval now in the world. Throughout in this fallen world, there's been upheaval over and over and over again. But ultimately, that dimension's going to reach some time of climax, of resistance to God and the war. And I read yesterday the passage of Jesus, the warrior king, riding out on his white horse, going out to destroy, finally, the heavens will open, he will come, and he will destroy the work of the enemy definitively. Paragraph 678, following in the steps of the prophets and John the Baptist, Jesus announced the judgment of the last day in his preaching. Then will the conduct of each one and the secrets of hearts be brought to light. Then will the culpable unbelief that counted the offer of God's grace as nothing be condemned. Our attitude to our neighbor will disclose acceptance or refusal of grace and divine love. On the last day, Jesus will say, truly I say to you, as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Jesus gives us the standard by which we're going to be judged, how the judgment's going to take place, and what we will be judged for. Again, it's important for us not to miss the beginning of this paragraph. Following the steps of the prophets and John the Baptist, Jesus announced the judgment of the last day in his preaching. Then will the conduct of each one That's you and that's me. And the secrets of hearts, that's your heart and mine, be brought to light. Nothing can be hidden from the eyes of the one to whom we must all render an account. Paragraph 679. Christ is the Lord of eternal life. Full right to pass definitive judgment on the works and the hearts of men belongs to him as the Redeemer of the world. He acquired this right by his cross. The Father has given all judgment to the Son. Yet the Son did not come to judge, but to save and to give the life he has in himself. This is what he wants to do, but he can't force it on us. And we're required, we have to say yes to Jesus through repentance and baptism and really turning our hearts to him, entering his church and living for him. By rejecting grace in this life, one already judges oneself, receives according to one's works, and can even condemn oneself for all eternity by rejecting the spirit of love. If we say no to Jesus, if we're indifferent to Jesus, if we don't take it seriously, if we don't surrender ourselves to him, if we don't seek forgiveness of our sins and new life in the Spirit, we will be condemned. That's a fact. That's what Jesus taught. That's what the apostles taught. That's what the catechism here is teaching. We'll be condemned because we want to be, because we decided to ignore Christ and to repent and turn our hearts toward him. Paragraph 680, Christ the Lord already reigns through the church, but all the things of this world are not yet subjected to him. The triumph of Christ's kingdom will not come about without one last assault by the powers of evil. Just underlining in brief what was said earlier. On judgment day at the end of the world, Christ will come in glory to achieve the definitive triumph of good over evil, which, like the wheat and the tares, have grown up together in the course of history. What's happening in history right now, Jesus said it, the weeds and the wheat are growing up together. In each human heart is weeds and wheat, and Jesus is coming to take, you know, wants to get our hearts in the place where we're growing wheat and not weeds. But that's also the case in the church and in the world. There's weeds and wheat. Jesus is not here right now making the great division and separating it, but he's going to come again, and that separation is going to happen. And all the darkness will be exposed to the light. And Jesus, at the end, what he wants is the wheat and those who are going to live with him forever. And the weeds are going to be thrown out into the fire. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Literal human beings are going to go to the lake of fire if they don't say yes to him. Finally, paragraph 682. When he comes at the end of time to judge the living and the dead, the glorious Christ will reveal the secret disposition of hearts and will render to each man according to his works and according to his acceptance or refusal of grace. Friends, our King stands ready to receive you, to hear you, to receive your repentance and the offer of your life to him, to align your heart with his. Just say yes to Jesus. Tell Jesus you realize your heart's in a sin-sick condition, and you want to give it to him, and he will take it, and he will make something beautiful out of your life for all eternity. God bless you, friends. Have a blessed weekend as we enter into the season of Advent together.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.